This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone is Randy Dixon. Randy is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, Happy New Year. Welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Happy New Year to you. It's great to be back, Kyle.
We'll set the stage.
You had a good holiday.
Yes, I did. And you too, I hope.
Yes.
Let's set the stage for what we do here before we get into this Monday's subject. You have access through the Pryor Center to archives that were originally on KATV, have been digitized, returned. They're being put up on the Pryor Center website. This is made possible through Barbara Tyson and the Tyson Family Foundation, and it spans all kinds of topics and times.
That's right. It's whatever the news happened to be, whatever the weather or sports, that's what's in there. And right now we have material from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and we're getting more and more material every week now, and we'll be adding it throughout this year. So there will be thousands and thousands of more hours posted in 2021.
And sometimes we take a certain month in history, sometimes we take a person, and sometimes, like this session, we take a topic, and the topic, food.
Well, I thought after the holidays, we all ate a little bit too much, and I started thinking about food, so I started looking in, and, you know, most of what I found was in the 70s, and Kyle, I can't speak for you, but I'm glad I was a kid during the 70s, because with inflation and the war and all kinds of gas prices, and I just don't know as an adult how much fun that would have been. And that's kind of reflected in all of these, or most of these reports that I found on food and food production and food prices around the state.
We're going to start with Secretary of Agriculture, and I bet if I had a list in front of me of all the former secretaries of agriculture, only a few names, a very few, would resonate. This one does, not necessarily because of his what he did as secretary, but something later. We can go back into that. But this is Earl Butz. What is he talking about?
Well, he's talking about, you know, the inflation and the price of food. And, you know, he's being very realistic about it. He's not real optimistic, but this is 1973, and this is sort of his take on what's going to happen to your pocketbook when going to the grocery store.
For 3 months in a row now, farm prices have come down rather substantially. And I had looked back on page 13 for a little two-inch column about farm prices coming down. That wasn't news. They've come down rather substantially. Now the big rise in food prices is behind us. But if anybody thinks that we're going to have cheap food prices in this country in terms of what we had 3 or 4 years ago, he is mistaken. And I want to nail that down right now.
Secretary of Agriculture Earl Butz in 1973, not mincing words at all. Of course, he was a controversial figure, and he was very blunt there, and he was a blunt person. He told, a very horrible off-color joke when he thought he wasn't being heard. It was reported by Rolling Stone magazine and others, and he eventually had to leave that post.
He did.
All right, you mentioned it wouldn't be fun to be an adult in the 70s because of the concerns about prices. Here comes somebody else who's going to reiterate that. Who are we about to hear from?
This is a state representative named Art Gibbons from North Little Rock, and his talks about possible legislation to keep grocery prices down and curb inflation.
I think this is one thing that we need to point up. I think if a merchant buys a can of beans and he marks it 15 cents, he ought to be responsible enough to say, well, I can afford to sell that can of beans 2 weeks from now for 15 cents, and not for him to take advantage of restamping it 5 or 6 times while it's sitting on his shelf. And I'm sure this will be unpopular with some of the merchants, and it's not a question of a popularity contest. It's just a thing that I am getting more calls from my constituents on this one item, I think, than anything else. Inflation and the dwindling of the average man's paycheck. And so this is just a step I'm taking to try to do something about it.
State Representative Art Gibbons, who represented part of North Little Rock. That was in 1974. We're talking about food this week on, with archives from the Pryor Center. I was a child in the mid-70s. I do not remember a rumored bread shortage, but apparently there was one.
Well, I didn't either, and came across this interview with an Arkansas businessman, owned a bunch of restaurants, George Cook. And there was a huge concern at the time, this was in 74, about wheat prices. And there were rampant rumors of a bread shortage and just not being able to find bread on the shelf, sort of like, I guess, a snow day or something that's permanent.
But I think we will have wheat, I think we'll have flour, and I think we will have bread throughout the balance of this year. I don't think it will be at a dollar a loaf. I think it'll be substantially higher, but I think we'll have it. And I don't think we'll have bread lines. I think they're exaggerating the problem. I think we have a problem, but it is not a catastrophic problem.
Some have blamed a supposed wheat shortage on the Russian grain deal. You believe that?
Yes, I do. I think the whole problem stems from the sale to the Russians.
That was from 1974. And what we know about food is one cost may affect another. I do remember jokes about the rising cost of meat, of beef, of hamburger, because Johnny Carson would make jokes about it. Here is...
Oh, he sure would.
Yeah, I mean, it was a monologue topic. What are we about to hear now?
Well, and that also kind of went hand in hand with wheat prices, grain prices. So it was costing beef producers more to raise their cattle. And this is a spokesman from the Beef Producers Association about their struggles with inflation.
Well, the feed grains are still real high, and the conversion factor for the cattle, that is to put the grain into beef cattle, is about 41 to 43 cents a pound for per pound of gain. So you can see if he's selling about 38, 39 cents, he's not doing too well. But the cattle that are coming out four longs, the reason I say they have to go up because when those calves went to the lots, they were about 65 cents a pound. And if it's costing 41 cents for the gain or better, and our cattle right now are about 40 and a half cents. But that's just paying for the gain. We have to come up with to take care of his overhead, and a lot of his, that includes some overhead, but a lot of additional things, death loss and veterinarian fees and the cost of the cattle to begin with, and he's got to make a little profit too. So when we get them all together, well, we're going to be a little higher.
Okay, so we've heard about beef, we heard about grains and bread. What about poultry?
Well, the big one in Arkansas is poultry, as you well know. And this was a little different take that I came across, that it wasn't as much of grain prices or operating costs, but gas prices and the trucker strikes that were going on, independent truckers, that were causing a glitch in the entire poultry industry. And Steve Barnes, who was with KATV at the time, now with Arkansas PBS, had a report from Springdale about the problems with poultry.
If the predictions of poultry executives come to pass, then the independent truckers may have a public relations problem to face, along with the high cost of diesel and lower speed limits. Because shutting down the poultry industry in Arkansas is about the same as taking chickens from the nation's pots. Steve Barnes, KATV News, Springdale.
Nobody ever signed off a story better than Steve Barnes.
That's true. He made you believe it.
He did. He did. And as you mentioned, he's still with Arkansas PBS, host of Arkansas Week every weekend. Okay, you mentioned poultry is the biggie for Arkansas. It is, but there's another huge food industry in the state.
Well, the biggest. And the largest rice producer and seller, in not just in the state or the country, but in the world, is based right in Stuttgart, Arkansas. And of course, it's Riceland Foods. And at the time, KETV had a farm service director was his title, and he did, you know, agriculture was so big. We had one reporter who all he did was agriculture. His name's John Philpott, and he's he's still around. I was able to interview him last year for the Pryor Center, but this is his report on Riceland Foods.
I've heard a number of times that Riceland Foods was the biggest organization of its type in the world. So to find out exactly what type that is, we asked the chairman of the board and chief executive officer of Riceland Foods, Mr. L.C. Carter.
Riceland Foods is a farmer-owned and farmer-controlled cooperative that receives and processes and markets the rice of some 25,000 rice and soybean farmers in eastern Arkansas, southeast Missouri, northeast Louisiana, and Mississippi.
And this is about what percentage of Arkansas's rice and soybeans?
We handle about 40% of the Arkansas soybean crop and a little over 50% of the rice crop.
What's your prospects for international sales this year?
Well, we think they are good. We are already making sales in the international market. We are particularly interested in moving rice into areas like the Middle East and in Western Europe and South Africa are some of our major dollar markets. Then during the year, we know we'll be making government concessional sales under PL-480 to Bangladesh, to South Korea, to many of the areas where we are sending food for humanitarian purposes.
Well, that brings us to the meeting you're having today of the membership.
Yes, we've had our 55th annual meeting today, and we had a good year, and we are looking forward to a good year next year. We're real happy that we were able to handle almost $500 million worth of agricultural products last year. We think our settlements to our members is quite satisfactory. They all seem happy. They're enjoying this barbecue, and it's a little warm, but we are enjoying this annual meeting today.
Well, it was a fine annual meeting, a real good barbecue at lunch, and Riceland Foods now has its work cut out for it in handling and marketing Arkansas's biggest rice and soybean crops. John Philpott, Cooperative Extension Service, reporting for News Scene 7.
Okay, now this next cut.
Yeah, I thought we'd kind of end a little more on a fun note rather than the gloom and doom of prices in the 70s.
Well, we've still got two more cuts, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. So, and they're both kind of fun. This first one is not of an Arkansan. It's of a very famous.
But he made regular trips to the States.
He did. He did. And I just find this a curious clip. Let's listen to it. Then I want to ask you some things about it. Okay. So this is Harlan Sanders, of course, Colonel Sanders from KFC.
I don't think there'd be as many new franchises as there was blossomed out here for the last couple of years because of the failures of them. But that was because so many people went into it, purely from a promotional idea. I don't see where they could sell the stock or something of that way. They got used to use the name of some celebrity, and then they knew nothing about the business or needed the promoter. So consequently, the public just spent a lot of money for nothing and never did get a product.
You know, we mentioned at the top of this conversation that Earl Butz was very straightforward and sort of brusque. Colonel Sanders, just based on what we just heard, kind of sounds the same way to me.
Yes. You know, he was working on, franchises.
Yeah.
And he was in sort of a different position. But he was very dedicated to his franchisees. And he would come to visit quite a bit, but he had a good point that a lot of celebrities would decide they wanted to get in the restaurant business. I remember my very first job as a kid was at George Lindsay's Burger Palace. You know, he played Goober.
Yes.
And knew nothing about restaurants. It was open for about 3 months, and then I was out of a job at like 14. But Harlan Sanders knew his business. You know, he didn't even get into the restaurant business until he was in his 50s, I believe.
Yeah.
And he knew about chicken and still, quite successful to this day, as we all know about KFC.
Well, you can still find many KFCs around the state. There was a time when you could find a Minuteman restaurant in several different towns in Arkansas. Then a time when you couldn't find any. What do you remember about Minuteman?
Well, it was one of my favorite memories, that and the Shack Barbecue. Mm. But Minuteman had their charcoal grilled burgers, but then they also had a microwave deep dish apple pie. That a microwave was a big deal back then, and they would zap those things. But they were big in Central South Arkansas, and went away. They were owned by a man named Wes Hall, and he actually lived a couple of streets away from me growing up, and he, of course, had the biggest house in the neighborhood. We thought it was a mansion, but he had the chain of restaurants, and he had some kind of fun things to say about the business, and this is in 1974.
Well, the biggest stumbling block in any service industry is to get the people that are working with you to believe that in the same principles that you do. And this is a matter of constant training. And we have one man that doesn't do anything but hire and train the Minuteman way. That's all he does. We're famous for having the most distant carryout order that's ever been delivered. And the first one we delivered to India. We got a letter from a young man in India that wanted a hamburger, a Minuteman hamburger. He wrote his father, as a matter of fact. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, but fortunately I found an architect, Mr. Ed Cromwell, that was going over there. And he took it over there for me.
Still hot.
Well, no, Mr. Cromwell had to heat it up for him when he got there. Well, I've been in the restaurant business since 1946, one way or another. And I think it was about 1956, latter part of 56, or early 1957, that we really began to go. And that's when we converted what we had into the charcoal broiled hamburger concept.
We've talked food this week. Next week, you've got some parks information for us.
Yeah, I thought we'd just take a little trip around the state and look at the past of some of our state parks. I have a friend who does some work for the Pryor Center, Stuart McClendon out of Little Rock, and he has taken on the mission of taking his children to every state park in Arkansas, and has almost completed that. I've forgotten how many there are, but I'll have to look that up before the next show.
I want to say there's maybe 75. No, that's the number of counties.
But I think it's somewhere close to that.
Okay. Well, we'll hear about some of them, not all of them, next time.
I'll have to ask Stuart.
Yeah, there you go. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Put Pryor Center into a search engine and you'll find all about what we talked about and so much more. Randy, thanks as always.
Thank you, Kyle. I'll see you next week.